Ryan Jacobson, CEO of the Fresno County Farm Bureau.
So, Ryan, we've talked many times about this. We wanted to touch on this because it's coming that time of year. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how big of an issue is labor? What are you hearing from members? What's going on?
You know, this year is shaped up to be very, very tight. It actually started very early, a lot earlier than from a historic perspective. You know, I had obviously growers during the asparagus and planting season that were seeing, you know, some very tight situations going back in April and May. It's really only exacerbated since then. And the real crunch times, obviously, or the pinch point is going to be coming up here in just a matter of days and weeks. So it's definitely looking like it's been a very tight labor supply. Not that it was unexpected, but with the way that the weather has happened this year and everything else, it's really going to condense this later season, and we're going to see some real pressure.
The perfect storm is the fact that all of these crops come to harvest right now. There's some in harvest already. You're going to see a real stretch of that labor and that heat. That it really is creating an issue here coming up.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you know, historically our peak season is anywhere from mid to late July through the middle to end of September. And the reason I call it peak season is there's obviously so many crops that are being harvested then. So you have your, you know, early summer, you know, kind of going into the later summer crops that kind of die off, your deciduous tree fruit and those types of crops. But you really get obviously very heavy when it comes to, you know, almonds, grapes, both table grapes and wine grapes and raisin grapes, all coming off. There's just so many different things that are happening in the valley right now. It's an exciting time from the time of the harvest perspective, but it's also the time in which this early August period for about 6 weeks, we're looking at that going to be the real crunch time to see where the labor situation is. We know it's going to be tight. And obviously Mother Nature is going to play a big role in how these crops come off. And obviously, you know, we've heard about shortages over on the Central Coast. You know, they've actually got a dollar amount associated right now in the $13 million range as far as losses attributed to the labor, lack of labor. And so we know there's going to be some pinch points over here in this valley.
We were talking about doing a story on this. We talked about how the heat and the weather implicates all of this, not only by bringing some of those crops together, but how does it affect this whole thing?
So first and foremost, it goes all the way back to, you know, let's say February, March. I mean, obviously it was a very wet, a little bit cooler than it's obviously been the last couple of year springs. And obviously that delays some of the crops coming out. And, you know, we're probably more average this year than we've been, you know, way above average the last couple of years. But even with that said, it's definitely a shift from the last couple of years. It's definitely a little behind what we would consider to be an average year. And so what it does is obviously puts a little bit more pressure point pushing us into that, you know, those later rain seasons that may come for so many different crops. But we've also obviously come into a fairly, what I would say, significant heat cycle. I mean, you know, Fresno came very close to breaking that 21-day record that's stood for a while as far as days over 100 degrees. Those 100-degree days, it's weird in the sense that obviously depending on what type of commodity, but, you know, a lot of commodities, you know, the trees and the vines, they're just like humans. They slow down. They don't do what they're necessarily supposed to do. But it also ripens the fruit a little bit differently. And that can make for shorter shelves lives. And additionally, it also makes sometimes when that fruit does come off, it all comes off at one time. You don't have that staggering that you sometimes get with a variety there. And so, you know, really condensing those, pushing those together is going to make a significant deal when it comes to this harvest. The only thing that may be going in the direction of helping this situation out this year is there's a lot of crops across the board that happen to be a little bit on the lighter side when it as far as those high labor demand crops, and those that lightness obviously alleviate some of those peak demands for labor. I still think we're going to see some of that pinch point, but it could be a little bit less just because, you know, some of the grape crops are down, tree fruits down, and you know, those are the very labor intensive crops.
And like you mentioned, this is not just harvest. There's a lot of other things. You got a call the other day. So, I mean, this is across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So we obviously, when we start talking agriculture and labor, so many of us just focus on the ag side or the farm side. But the processing side of things, whether it's packing houses to processing plants and everything else, have definitely are seeing their sides of the shortages as well. You know, I've definitely heard of you know, up and down the states, several shortages at places. And you know, we're talking not just a couple folks. We're talking, you know, these places that obviously employ several hundred folks that you know, are seeing anywhere from 50 to 100 to 200 people shortages. And so I think those are going to it's going to be interesting to see as we get through the season how those typically transition. I mean, a lot of these folks obviously go back and forth between the farm and the processing places. And so we know there's a shortage. We know that it's going to get tight. It's just at this point, it's really difficult to tell how tight it really is going to get.
California Farm Bureau has put out a survey. I believe the deadline is August 9th. They really want to see kind of how bad this is across the state. What is the survey? What are they looking for? Why do people need to participate?
Obviously, what I've been talking about is so much observational, and so and we can, you know, obviously you can go up and down the state and get different observations, but the California Farm Bureau is really trying to get that data to support that, and so they've asked agriculturalists up and down the state to participate in a survey that's available on their website, cfbf.com, and they're able to go on there, take the survey, and just kind of report what they're seeing from their specific operation. And obviously, the more information we collect, the more information we're able to aggregate, and that becomes very helpful when we start talking to our senators, to our congressional representatives, as far as obviously this is a situation that's been up and down over the years, but it's a constant situation in the agriculture industry. And obviously we would like to see some long-term comprehensive fixes when it comes to the immigration system. And this is data that just helps to really get a better tail to where we're at.
Last question here. You've seen an increase in people talking about H-2A program. There's a Spreckels facility, some other facilities in California that are like that, where they implement that system. Nationally, they're talking about bolstering that H-2A system. Is that something that can help out, or do we just need immigration reform altogether?
You know, obviously, H-2A system is something that was essentially non-existent in California going back 5 years ago, and now we're seeing, I think it's up to 3,000-4,000 individuals that are participating in that program. Just out of basic necessity for some of these operations to continue forward. The problem with H-2A is just there's timelines and some requirements that just don't work for California agriculture, probably as well as other parts of the country. And so I think there's a way to really make H-2A workable, but it's going to have to be one of those take it down to the bare bones and then try to build it back up into something that California can really utilize. Just because it may work well other places, we need to have our say when it comes to this program, because it is a program that you know, there is possibly some vile parts of it, but obviously we would like to see some really big improvements or significant improvements within that. But there's really two parts. When we start talking comprehensive California agriculture, we have two parts. We obviously have those individuals that are currently here working in agriculture that are such an important part of our industry, an important part of our communities that we need to work at and find a solution for them. But additionally, like I said, we cannot forget looking at the future. I mean, we're looking at, when I start talking the future is, I mean, 3, 5, 10 years away. We're talking very immediate. Obviously, the last comprehensive immigration reform for the United States was back in 1986, 31 years ago. And so the folks that participated in that IRCA program, I mean, they're at retirement age. The folks that are here, we've obviously seen the numbers. I mean, migration back to Mexico is actually higher than migration into the United States at this point. Obviously, the economy's improving in both Mexico and South America. And so we know things are changing. We know the dynamics of the way that we traditionally got our workforce is changing. We need to find a solution for the full going forward, knowing that if we don't find a solution for our water issues, for our labor issues, we're either going to have to decide, we've got a conscious decision. We're going to either grow this food domestically, the safest food supply in the world, and try to find solutions, or we're going to have to offshore it. And I think that's something that most Americans do not want to see.